Welcome to the Blue Creek Outdoors Podcast, where we're talking faith, family, sports, and the great outdoors.
And welcome back to the Blue Creek Outdoors Podcast. I am Joe Bartlett.
And I am Austin Seidler.
And we are in Tombstone, Arizona.
Dude, what's up, my man? This is crazy, seeing you face to face, literally.
It hasn't happened since, we haven't done one together since last September, I believe.
Was it September? I thought it was August.
It might have.
Preseason.
Because we did one together right after I got back from Africa in September.
Yep.
Maybe that was late August. Who knows? I don't know. But we're together today in Tombstone, Arizona. Been hunting javelinas the last few days. We got a couple more days left. So,
Man, what a week it's been so far.
We're going to dive into that. But I'm exhausted. Austin's exhausted. We came into town to get showered up, spend a night in a bed in a hotel room, and get back after it in the morning. So in the interest of time, we're gonna get right into this because we do have a lot we're going to talk about this week. So we do have a lot to talk about. But today in college football, in the Frontier Conference, we're going to talk about Southern Oregon. In the Big Sky, we're going to talk about UC Davis. And in the Mountain West, we're going to talk about Air Force. So that being said, we'll start with Southern Oregon, who finished the 2023 season at 6-4. They started their season off with a loss at the College of Idaho, which was their non-conference game against the fellow Frontier team. They win at home against Willamette, out of a Division III team. They lose at Montana Western, lose at home against Montana Tech. They win on the road at Rocky Mountain, win on the road at Arizona Christian, win on the road at Northern, lose at home to Carroll, win at on the road at Eastern Oregon, and then they lose their final game at home against the College of Idaho. And their 2024 schedule is out. And they're opening with, who did we say that? What's that name of the team?
It was Kawanse Gepek.
Oh, here's something I didn't notice. Check this out. That game is scheduled for May 4th.
So is that going to be their spring football game?
They're playing a college football team from Japan. And when I looked at this schedule, I just assumed that that was their first game. But when I checked the dates on here, that game is scheduled for May 4th.
Oh, that's a spring game. That's cool.
They very well may be playing their spring game against a Japanese team who's coming. I'm going to have to find more information about this. That's kind of wild. Yeah, I didn't check the date until just now looking at it. So that is scheduled for the 4th of May at 6 p.m., which that's pretty late for a spring game, though.
Yeah, because typically they play it in like mid-April.
I'm going to have to find out more about that. That'd be kind of interesting to – I mean, that's cool. I'm down for it. That's pretty sweet.
I mean, it's something new. It's something, you know, kind of quirky.
Yeah.
And, I mean, get to play a team – in American football.
I think it would be very cool for everybody to play an oddball team that you never have faced before for your spring game.
Ever.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. I think it'd be a cool thing to do. But this fall, they start the season off at home against Lincoln, who is a independent Division II team, last we checked. And then they are on the road the next week at Simpson, which is a Division III team out of Redding, California.
Yep, Redding,
California. Best of our knowledge, they're a Division III team and a fairly new new program.
Yeah, so they announced that they were going to have a scrimmage season in 2023. I saw that they won their first scrimmage game ever, but nothing after that one. And their first full-fledged season is this year in 2024. So congrats to Simpson University and their inaugural official football season. So that's kind of exciting.
Right. Now here's a little bit of confusing thing is they play the College of Idaho twice still. They play two non-conference games, and then still they are scheduled against the College of Idaho twice. The first time is at home on September 21st. Then they're at home against Western, at Montana Tech, at home against Rocky Mountain, at Arizona Christian, at home against MSU Northern, at Carroll College, at home against Eastern Oregon, and then at the College of Idaho to finish their season. So it's kind of interesting to see how they're – man, that's a tough road, though. That's a, let me see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. This is, we're going to have to look at these games.
Yeah, that means that they're playing 11 football games.
Oh, yeah. So yep. We're good
there. Not including game they're playing in May.
In the spring, yeah. Yep. Yeah, so again, Southern Oregon is one of those teams where if you told me in a crystal ball right now that they would win the Frontier Conference, I wouldn't be flabbergasted. I would be a little bit surprised, but I wouldn't be floored by it.
For them to win the conference, I think it's a little far fetched. Just kind of going through the schedule, I think 6-5 is is a realistic overall record, which is, you know, one extra loss from their last season.
Yeah.
But I mean, they went 3-2 on the road and 3-2 at home, so it's kind of a good even split. Obviously, you want to win all your games at home, but I mean, I think 6-5 is a good safe bet. Historically, they have played super well. I'm not sure kind of what's been going on with the recruiting as of late or kind of how things go, but I mean, winning 7 games, definitely possible. You know, not winning 6 games, also possible. I mean, I feel like it can go either way, but with who they are, pretty even across the board.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at this here, and at home against Lincoln and then at Simpson, I would think both those are wins because Lincoln was bad last year and really bad. I don't think they'll take a good step forward, that much of a step forward anyways. Simpson will be, who knows, but I imagine that's probably a winnable football game. At home against College of Idaho and then at home against Western and then at Montana Tech, that is a rough stretch to go through. Yeah. But then at home against Rocky, at Arizona Christian, at home against Northern, there's, you know, 3 winnable football games for the Southern Oregon.
Dude, I have Rocky beating them.
I think Rocky could beat. I mean, that's a good game. I feel like they've been pretty evenly matched the last couple of years. But then at Carroll and at home against Eastern Oregon and then at College of Idaho again. That's a rough stretch.
They're going to win a couple to start the season off pretty well, but once they, you know, get into the conference, they're starting off with a couple of L's unless they pull something out of the bag, and maybe Tech or C of I doesn't continue with what they've been doing the last couple of seasons.
Right.
They might just have to chalk those ones up until they get back home, and I think it's realistic for them to win 4 in a row.
I'm kind of intrigued by this spring game, and if it wasn't right in smack dab middle of bear season, and I actually might have drill that weekend, so I don't think I could go anyways, but it'd be kind of cool to go see that. But anyways, you know, I don't think anything too out of the ordinary other than that spring game for Southern Oregon. They kind of do what they do, and
I feel like that's a cool thing, though.
That,
like,
is super cool.
For an NAIA team playing an out-of-country team, like, yeah. That's the first I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by that. I would kind of want to find out more for next week's episode. We'll have a little bit more to talk about it, I think, but we'll move on to the Big Sky here. We got UC Davis, who finished last fall 7-4 overall, 5-3 in the Big Sky. They started their season off with a 48-10 win over at Texas A&M Commerce. They lose at Oregon State. They win at home against Southern Utah. They lose at home against Eastern Washington. They win on the road at Cal Poly, and then they lose at home against Montana. They beat Weber State before their bye week, and then they lost at Northern Arizona. And then they finished they won 3 games straight, Portland State, at Idaho State, and then at home against Sacramento State to finish the season, barely missing the playoffs. But that loss to Northern Arizona and Eastern Washington really hurt them.
I mean, officially, Northern Arizona finished better than them in conference as the standings sit right now because of that.
Because of that win,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
which is kind of crazy because Sac State finished below UC Davis, and they still made the playoffs. Really? Kind of nuts.
That is kind of nuts.
Yeah, and this is according to ESPN.
Yeah. Huh. That's kind of wild.
Mm-hmm.
This fall, they opened their season at California for a money game, at home against Texas A&M Commerce, and then at Southern Utah, at home against Utah Tech, and then Idaho, and then at Portland State, at home against Cal Poly, at Eastern Washington, then a bye week, and then at home against Northern Colorado, and then at Montana, and then at home with Montana State, and then on the road at Sacramento State to finish the season. That is tough. When you have to play Idaho, Montana, and Montana State, and Sacramento State, all in the Big Sky Conference, that's a tough draw for the season.
Yeah, really tough. I mean, just based off of that, 5-6.
Yeah, that's a very tough draw for the season.
Mm-hmm. That's not a dog on UC Davis, because what they've done in the last 5 years with the program with Dan Hawkins, Cody Hawkins, now the head coach. Because Cody Hawkins, the head coach at Idaho State, was the offensive coordinator at UC Davis.
Gotcha. Okay.
Last year, and he obviously got hired on as the head coach for the Bengals. But what they've done in that time has been phenomenal for the program, and they have been in contention for the conference. Now, with that current schedule, man, like, that is a that's a tough wall to get through.
That's a tough break for a schedule. I don't. You know, I feel like the Big Sky, you don't play everybody in the Big Sky every year, but you rotate the schedule, and so like every once in a while, you're gonna play the four big dogs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that is just brutal.
Honestly, I think it's just luck of the draw this season.
Yeah.
And if anything, it's going to be a good learning curve moving forward based on what it's going to take to get to that next level, to break into that top third of the conference.
Yeah. I think you're right there. But, you know, interesting thing, I don't think UC Davis finishes in those top four this season. That'll be a tough ask of them. I don't think it happens. But, you know, obviously it's college football. Anything can happen. That's why I love watching it. So, but we'll move on to Air Force in the Mountain West. Finished the season 9-4 overall, 5-3 in the Mountain West. I have never seen the wheels fall off a bus quite like this football team last fall. I'm just making sure I get there. They started the season 8-0. They started the season 8-0 and then finished 9-4. But they did get a bowl game win. So they win at home against Robert Morris to start the season, win in Houston, Texas versus Sam Houston. They won at home against Utah State, one at San Jose State, one at home against San Diego State, one at home against Wyoming, one at Navy, one at Colorado State, and then the wheels fell off the bus. They lose to Army in the Army Air Force game. I watched that game on TV. It was like Army. The score was 23-3. The game was not that close.
They had six turnovers that game.
Yeah, Army just completely. Yeah, I don't know. Granted, six turnovers and only losing by 20, like it makes you seem like your defense played pretty good, but at the same time, Army was physically in control of that football game.
Mm-hmm.
They lose at Hawaii, lose at home against UNLV, and then lose at Boise State to finish the season off. But then they do beat James Madison in the Armed Forces Bowl to end the season, which I'm glad Mountain West teams win their bowl games. Here's their schedule for next year. They're at home against Merrimack, an FCS program, at Baylor, at home against Navy, at Army, at home against – and so those ones are set dates. The Mountain West schedule, they don't have it in set dates yet, but here's who they will play. I think it's in this order. At home against Colorado State, at home against Fresno State, at home against San Jose State. It can't be in that order. It just has their home games and their away games listed. At home is Colorado State, Fresno State, San Jose State, Oregon State, and then their away games are at Nevada, at New Mexico, at San Diego State, and then at Wyoming. I think the order of those games is actually going to kind of matter a little bit when they get scheduled. But I think Air Force is another bowl team this year and another contender for the Mountain West title.
I think it's going to be almost an exact replica. I don't think they're going to drop off that much that late in the season. Depending on the order, 8 wins, 100% attainable.
Air Force. Yeah, I think. For sure. I don't know what they're – I'm not going to look at their win total yet because we're not going to look at those till July. Because they could change between now and then, but
mm-hmm.
I would probably, depending on their win total, I'll probably be taking the over.
Yeah, I think they're gonna maintain status quo and being one of the teams to beat in the Mountain West. If they don't host the conference championship, they're gonna be in the conference championship next season.
I would 100% agree with that. I definitely would. So
now, at the same time, in your last four football games, you cannot have double digit turnovers, dude.
Yeah, you got to knock that off.
Are you kidding me, man? Like that, when I saw that against Army and then against Hawaii, because they still had three or four turnovers against Hawaii.
The only thing I will say is that their starting running back got hurt and they kept rocking with him. He was hurt for like the second half of the season a lot. Like they kept playing him because it wasn't like season ending, but it was serious injuries. And they kept riding him. So I have to think.
Do you think that was a personal choice, or the coaches told him he didn't have any other choice?
I think, well, you can't do that nowadays and get away with it. But I think he said, like, I'm in the game. And whereas maybe some coaches would have said, like, no, you're done.
Yeah.
They let him roll.
I mean, kudos to the kid for wanting to, you know, stay in and be with his team and fight for his team. But also, if he was one of the leaders in that turnover gang, I think you need to humble yourself and sit down on the bench.
Yeah, I it definitely, who knows, he could have hurt them more than helped them, but Couple of interesting announcements in just college football in general. Let me see the first one here. Was that the college football playoff adopts a 5-7 format for the 12-team playoff. The top five conference champions are going to be an automatic bid, and then the seven others are going to be at-large bids, which, you know, for what we have, for what it is, I think that will probably work the best.
I think that's a huge step forward from just the 14 playoff.
Yes, yes. And I can't – but the original I think the original format was going to be any conference champion ranked in the top 25 was an automatic bid.
Mm-hmm.
The rest were at large. They changed it to the top. So
you have to win the conference, and you have to be
in the top five. You have to be the top five of conference champions. So, like, if you think that number one is the SEC champion, number two is Big 12 champion, number three is Big 10 champion. Let's say number four is ACC champion. Let's say the American champion. They rate those five better than the other conference champions.
Okay.
Now those five are automatic bids. So essentially one.
So Power Five, one of the Power Five conference champions is going to get an automatic.
Well, there's
bid.
No more Power Five because the Pac-12 is gone. That's so true. Essentially, the power conferences, all four. You would think that all four of those conferences, shared champion gets in. And then a group of whatever the highest ranked group of five champion is would get in theory.
Okay.
In theory, that's what we're thinking.
I mean, surface level, still a good idea.
Yeah.
Now there is going to be some botching going on, especially when you have seven at-large bids. Because now instead of, you know, who's first in, first out between, you know, five, six, seven, eight, especially if somebody who's undefeated.
Right.
Now you're playing that game with people who have lost multiple games who are, you know, the 14, 15, 16 seed.
Yeah, but here's the deal. They're going to say, like, I'd rather have a 9-3 Auburn than a 7-5, you know.
UCF.
Exactly. That's what they're going to say. Which,
yeah,
tough to argue with.
I mean, it's gonna bounce back to the whole Florida State thing where it's like, all right, well, you don't – really have anybody or had a huge strength of schedule, so
yeah,
we're gonna play you against Georgia.
The other interesting news is that UMass is joining the MAC in 2025.
Oh boy.
Here's what I didn't know. They were in the MAC from 2012 to 2015. I didn't know that.
I thought they've just been independent for that time.
Same. I thought so too. I because I'm trying to think back to NCAA 12. If the MAC was
I love that you made that reference.
I'm trying to remember. I don't think UMass was in the MAC in that game.
No.
But if
they weren't in NCAA 14, I know that for sure. They were independent.
Man.
Because I've kept them independent in my Dynasty League.
I'm going to look at this article. I wonder, did they just have like a MAC agreement? Or like, it says they were prior members of the MAC.
Interesting.
That doesn't make any sense. I don't remember that at all. I'm about to check UMass's schedules.
Yeah.
Where are they at here? I'm going to check this out. FBS Independent, UMass. I'm going to check the year here. We're going back to 2012.
Yes, yeah, so is set to join the MAC in all applicable sports for the 25-26 school year.
Yeah, they definitely played a MAC schedule in 2012.
That's insane.
They were real bad in the MAC, too.
Yeah, they have not been
historically
good.
Yeah, they've got a MAC schedule here from those time frames. Huh, man, that is blowing my mind. I did not know that they were in the MAC until today.
You know what? I love this. I love this decision that they made. They were engaged with the Conference USA, but they made more. It made more geographic sense pairing with the MAC.
Holy
That's
cow.
Exactly how the conferences should be.
Dude, somebody call UCLA and Oregon and USC.
You know what? Have fun skipping class for 5 days and having to travel thousands of miles every single week to play.
One of my friends said to me last fall when all this was going down or whatever, they said, when all this is said and done, I hope Hawaii is in the ACC.
Yeah. The ACC or the American Conference, because that used to be the Big East.
Yeah.
Remember when Boise State was in talks to join the Big East?
Yeah, that was.
Right when West Virginia left?
Well, Idaho was in the Sun Belt for a while. They started this whole thing. They're like, the Sun Belt with everybody's insane. In Florida? Yeah, we'll join.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
That seems like a good idea.
Yeah. Wild. But, yeah, no, we're looking forward to more college football news coming out. It's spring season. Spring practices are going to start underway here shortly. Some people have already started, but, I'm ready for July to get here to start talking win totals, to be honest with you.
Well, we're not doing a podcast in July, remember?
No, but I guess after the fact, after August. July, that'll be our next episode. Yep, we'll talk win totals. So
we never went over our win totals for or like how things panned out versus what we bet on the over/under.
We're gonna have to make sure to do that.
We gotta go back in the archives now. It feels like forever ago.
I don't want to go back that far.
That's a long ways.
That'll be like
it's only, 19 weeks or something? But it seems like a long time. It does. That's a lot of hours.
It's a whole lot of hours. Yeah. But that being said, we'll move on to this week at Blue Creek Outdoors. And this week we are outside. We're in Tombstone, Arizona.
It's not what I thought it was going to be. If we're just talking about the town. I thought it was going to be a little bit more hustle and bustle.
I didn't know what to expect, but you're right. It's not quite what I thought, but it makes sense. It is what it is now.
It is everything of what it should be. That's for sure.
We have not really spent any time in Tombstone other than to come in and grab the store or whatever. We've been camped outside of Tombstone, so it's not like we've spent a ton of time. We were hoping we would have an extra day or two to maybe spend some time here to see one of the shooting reenactments or whatever, but I'm not exactly sure how much extra time we're going to have, because we've yet to get a javelina on the ground, and the first couple opportunities are 100% my fault. Now here's the full disclosure. I don't know anybody else out there that's like this, but I don't check my rifles unless I realize that they're off.
But when do you realize that they're off?
I know you realize that usually at the wrong time. Because they're not off very often, and then I go fix them and they're back on.
Honestly, like, I'm in the same boat. I'm not going to change anything. Like, I'm not going to fix it unless it's broken.
But right? I probably will now.
Yeah.
I will.
Now, every once in a while, like, I'll send one round downrange, in camp, depending on where we're at, just to see. And if it hits okay one time, that's where I let it sit. I'm not going to send multiple rounds through.
Because of this week, now I will probably always check my rifle. So, we missed a javelina off to the right, and I thought, okay, it happens. That's what I thought.
That's what I thought too. And I was like, hey, I pulled it to the right a little bit. It is what it is.
Yeah. And then the very, what was it, an hour later?
Yeah, about an hour later.
We miss another one. Now, that first one was 140 yards.
Mm-hmm.
We get another one at 70 yards. And when I tell you, this would have been one of the most perfect kill shots we ever got. I mean, the frame
was everything perfect. Was set up.
The light was perfect. Everything was perfect. Javelina stood on the ridge of 70 yards. Everything was perfect. And I see a dust kick up to the right of the javelina again. And I was like, okay, we need to shoot this rifle.
Yeah.
We go back, we shoot the rifle, and it is off to the right, and we get it dialed back in.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're dialed back in.
And that leads us to this morning.
Which, again, is one of my most perplexing things I've ever seen hunting. However, once I've received some further explanation from people who have been around javelinas a little bit, so again, dang near perfect situation.
Before we continue this, like, I feel like the dynamic that we've had during this whole hunting trip, you know, between spotting them, getting to a good situation to sit down, set ourselves up for a good shot, has been exactly what we need.
Everything's been perfect.
Except when the bullet flies.
Except for the bullet flying. And perfect today. Perfect camera angle. Like, everything looks good. Bullet flies, drills javelina in the neck. And it falls down. It goes down so hard. It went down so hard that I was looking to see if we were going to be able to double up. I was looking to see if another one was going to stand still. I was like,
you go left. I'll look at the ones going right.
And then that javelina, after several seconds, gets up and runs over the ridge.
Trots off.
But there's javelina everywhere. So at this point in time, we're like, we don't know which one's which, and we're not going to start letting bullets fly until we have some confirmation. And we looked for that javelina for almost 3 hours.
Yeah. And what, an entire square mile?
Yeah, I think more than that even. I think we covered a lot of ground. We had a little bit of blood, but not much.
Four drops in the same direction.
Yeah.
But within 30 feet of where the initial impact was.
Yeah. And this is the thing that I sent out a few feelers and messages, you know, seeing if anybody else had kind of been in the same situation. So I appreciate everybody who got back to me so quick. Number one, javelinas don't bleed a lot. Hardly at all. That's the general consensus that I've gotten. Number two is their spine, it's very low in their neck. And if you hit high neck,
they're going to run off.
They're going. And they're not stopping. And you're not going to catch them.
And after further review, based on the camera angle, that's exactly where the bullet hit. So, and after looking through the videos and watching every javelina run off, and the one that we did see, you know, hightail it in the opposite direction, everybody was full form. They were sprinting full force.
Yeah, that's what made it so confusing.
Yeah.
Was like all these ones are leaving, and they're leaving quickly, and they're hauling. So it was like, I don't understand. Because that's in my mind, I was waiting for one to be
limping, you know, ready to fall over. That's what I was waiting for.
And none of them were that way, so we didn't shoot. Because it was like, now.
And then going back to the original shot, with it on the ground, kicking.
Hard.
Like, in my mind, every time I've seen that scenario where an animal falls.
They're dead.
And his kick.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
There's no need to send a second round downfield because at that point it's just a waiting game.
Yeah.
But then as it gets up, it's like he's getting up and then disappears behind that knob.
Yeah.
And then at that point it's like, okay, well, yes, I do need to send another round, but which one is it?
Well, I was pretty positive that we were going to go over there and find it dead. And then we didn't. Then I kind of started to realize what had happened.
Yeah.
And then I realized that the second one we saw going up over the hill was probably that one. That's what I'm guessing.
It lagged behind. It sprinted out and then just took its time to the top.
Yeah. But it was hauling balls at first.
Yeah. But with like there was no limp. There was nothing.
No.
I watched it in my binoculars.
Yeah.
And I didn't see any blood on it because it was broadside for a little bit and then just hightailed it away straight up the mountain.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I've never seen anything like that at all. But now that I've like gotten a bunch of messages back from friends and stuff, I'm like, okay, now this makes more sense. But in the moment, I was like, what is going on here?
I mean, I was panicking. It made me think, like, do I know what I'm doing? Like, we gotta go back to the epicenter. Where did this start? And then
because I've only shot and seen javelina shot behind the shoulder, but I would have thought the neck shot would have been fine on one.
Yeah.
But apparently
he hit the dirt hard, yeah. Like really hard.
Flipped over onto his back, everything.
Yeah.
Like I was like,
kicked for a good solid 4 seconds.
Yeah. So future reference, if you're out there and you want to go hunt and have a lead, just
shoot in the shoulder.
Shoulder.
Yeah. Just make it easier on yourself. Animal.
Don't risk a high neck shot where you just hit meat and they're booking it. And so that's where we are. We've got two more days left. Hope we can get at least one on the ground and, but
we're shooting straight.
We're shooting straight now.
We have a good game plan, a good strategy.
We're going to make a video out of this hunt regardless of what happens. Part of it, now there's the lows. That's been the lows so far. The highs are that every single day we've hunted a certain area, we've gotten shots at javelina.
Yep.
Now, the other cool part of this trip is that Bree and Aiden came down with us, which has been cool. And Aiden has been, in my opinion, pretty fun to hunt with this trip. He's been in a pretty good mood the most part. Obviously, he's 1 year old, so he's going to be a little fussy. But in our yard at home, we don't really have, like, loose dirt anywhere. And so, like, to see him, like, look around and, like, I think it was legitimately his first time being like, this is loose dirt. And start playing in it and then get really angry when you try to take him out of it before he's done.
Yeah. Honestly, it's been kind of cool whenever you first said that, like, oh, man, I'm so happy he's playing in the dirt. And it's like, what do you mean? He hasn't yeah. played the dirt, dude? No. He's a kid. But then he is also, like, barely over 1 year
old. Yeah, so yeah. We haven't spent a ton of time sitting outside.
Yeah, and then just, like, see him with just, like, with one finger just kind of run his fingers through the dirt and then hold on to rocks for an ungodly amount of time.
Yep.
Like, look at this rock I found.
Yep, and then we go on a stalk and Bree puts him back in the dirt and hangs out with him. And it's
just having a ball.
It's been pretty fun. We've been down here with my friend John and his wife, Kaylee, and their friend Chris, and they tagged out on the second date. They doubled up together, which was that is a pretty cool thing to do. So I was pretty pumped for them, but they've been helping us and glassing for us and all sorts of stuff the last few days. So it's been awesome. We really appreciate them. Those guys,
if you guys are listening to this, thank you so much for all the knowledge and the good times in camp and glassing, helping out today even. That's been huge. We appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been awesome. So this will be a trip that we make every single year. And obviously, we're not done yet. We got two more days of hunting left. And based on the last 2 days, we're going to get more shot opportunities. So I've just really enjoyed this trip. I hope we end up with a dead javelina for the video. But this is the way it goes down sometimes, and we're going to tell the truth in the video, which I think is pretty important. So,
That's how we started it, and that's how we're going to continue to do it, win or lose.
Now, that being said, I was just thinking about a verse for the episode, and I was just going to sit here and Google this. I haven't picked one yet. We're going to do this on the fly.
Oh, let's go.
I'm going to Google verses for when nothing goes right.
Murphy's Law.
Yeah, let's see here. When nothing goes right. There we go. Let's see this. I'm kind of interested to see what ones pop up here, even though I have terrible service here in Tombstone. This Google search might take a little bit of a second. There we go. Okay, let's see here. I'm about to open this up. It's one of those things when you have really crappy service, and it's one of those things that shouldn't make me as angry as fast as it does.
I mean, we grew up on dial-up internet. You should be used to it.
I know. My mom was working on her master's degree when I was a kid, right? So, you'd go to use the phone, and it was like, and you're like, mom's on the computer. Yeah. And you're like, wow, nobody can use the phone because mom's on the computer.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. That was the – that. If I remember correctly, you couldn't even get the voice the voicemail because you had to go to
unless you had one of the recorders. Remember those little cassette tapes?
We didn't have one of those.
Oh, okay,
man, this is not loading. What is the deal here?
Let me see if I can Google it.
Yeah, let's both Google the thing and see who's got one that pops up first. That'll be the verse. We'll know that's the sign. Oh, nope, that's not one.
So what'd you say? Bible verse for when
nothing goes right. That's what I was saying. Because that's what it kind of feels like. But we can't really say that for this week either because obviously Javelina's in the rifle scope every single day. What you got?
All right, you ready? So Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
There we go. Let me read this again here. So, by prayer and petition, present your request to God. All right, God.
Thankfully.
Dead javelinas.
That's javelina in my cooler on the way home.
That is my request. Hopefully it happens.
Put it out there. Swiftly.
So, yeah. Bullet in the right spot to dead. That's what I'm hoping for.
Man.
We have two more days. This might be a little shorter episode. We're only at 33 minutes right now, but I'm exhausted.
That's quick. I'm so tired. To take a shower
have hunted so hard the last 4 days, and it's 70 degrees, and I don't care what anybody says. That takes it out of me more than any other maybe rain wears me down, obviously, a little bit more, but heat.
Dude, just the sun, period.
Yeah, I'm sunburned.
It's not super hot, but, I'm sunburnt. I'm glad I've been wearing long sleeves at least.
Yeah, same. That's what I was wearing.
But my head, I look like I have a half dome right here.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
from my sunburn.
Big time. But I've got dust in every nook and cranny, and I'm sunburned, and I'm exhausted. And I'm going to go to bed tonight, and I'm going to present prayer and petition with thanksgiving. My request to God for dead javelinas tomorrow.
Should be the first prayer I say tonight.
Because if we get it done tomorrow, maybe we can mess around at Tombstone a little bit and be tourists a little bit.
The pamphlet in the lobby, and they do it every hour on the hour.
A shootout?
The OK Corral gunfight. That's what it says. It says every hour.
Dang, that's a lot of shootouts.
Yeah.
All right, we might have to make that happen. We'll see. We'll see if we get...
There's a lot of other things to do around here. I couldn't read all the pamphlets in time.
We'll see if we get two dead javelinas tomorrow.
That is the primary prayer and goal.
Right.
Starting there. Tomorrow in the AM.
Before we wrap up, I do want to mention that Friday, March 1st, is this Friday. Our newest video will drop on the channel. It is another Africa video with my brother's Kudu, which might be one of my favorite moments in Africa that I've ever had. And I like the video. Like, I just was kind of pumped about how it turned out. So I think it turned out really well. But if you guys would please go watch it. Thanks for following along. Thanks for subscribing. I know this was a shorter episode, but we had to barrel into town to we hunted a little bit late, and then it just seemed like coming back into town was like we were forgetting stuff and having to go back, and oh my goodness, it was just a bit of a fiasco. So we're going to get into bed so we can get up in the morning and get back out there looking for a javelina.
Heck
but
yeah.
Really appreciate everybody following along and listening. And we'll on Monday, what we'll do is we'll have an update for these last 2 days of this javelina season for you.
And hopefully it's a good one, and we can continue with the Thanksgiving, and all of our thoughts has transcended our understanding.
Yeah, hopefully.
It really does.
Hopefully we transcend the understanding of dead javelinas.
Yeah. You know, I think I'll be able to understand that one, but until it happens, I'm going to sit and wait.
Yeah.
But I appreciate everybody for tuning in. Once again, our memberships are live right now. So that'll get you access to our live videos coming up. So once you get into the live video, you automatically get entered to win a prize just for that episode. We're going to have a winner each time we do it.
We might have multiple winners each time we do it.
I mean, if there's five people on there, I promise you all five of you are going to get a prize.
Yeah. The next live podcast will probably be late March, and that's on the YouTube channel itself. So we'll let you know when that gets scheduled. But hop on the live, jump in the chat. You can partake in the conversation and get in. And like I said, I anticipate only a few people to begin with, so we'll make sure everybody gets hooked.
We'll make sure it's worth your while, because it's definitely been worth hours just doing this, and we wouldn't be able to do it without everybody listening and tuning in, asking questions, and just wanting to hang out. So thank you to everybody. Appreciate it.
All right, catch you next time.
See you.